Thank you for listening to this message from the Pentecostals.
So if you would turn with me in James chapter 1, and again, I want to emphasize one more time, this is not correction, it's encouragement. I've changed a few things in my own life to get me more into the Word, and I can tell you it's doing stuff. It's powerful, powerful stuff. And so James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Nobody deceiving you but you, says right there. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into, somebody say into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let us pray. God, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the word. We turn over the remainder of this service to your will, what you desire to accomplish. Let none of us stand in the way here today, but do as you saw fit to do when you gave me this scripture, and as you desire to do in our hearts. I pray that we would receive this word today, that your will would be done. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake somebody's hand. Welcome them to the house of God. Let them know it's good to see them, and you may be seated. Verse 18 of James 1 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. And then we see how this leads into where we opened up today. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. People are like, what in the world is that? That is like a residue, a flow from the past. It's something that stuck to you. We got to put away the residue of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted, or as it says, implanted word of God. Now I ask you today, is your heart ready for an implanting? If we have a stony heart, a lot of times things will just bounce right off. If we have a stubborn mind, things will bounce right off. But are we ready to receive the implanted word of God? That's a question we should ask every day as we're drinking our coffee, as we're getting ready for the day. Am I ready to receive the word today? Am I ready to receive it to a point that I'll do something about it? Or am I just going to be a hearer? Am I going to turn on the radio and get a good little devotional or a good little sermon, but do nothing about that to apply it into my own life? See, there's this thing called deception. We've got a master of it. Anybody know his name? You know his old time name. Anybody know that one? Lucifer, Satan, the devil, we call him. He's a king at deception. He's mastered the plan. He's had thousands of years. He had a prototype in the garden. He tried it out, and it was successful. And he said, it worked today, and it's going to work tomorrow. All I have to do is do just enough to deceive you. And if you are deceived, then you won't be doing the word like you should be doing the word. It happened in the garden. It happens today. But there's a deception of not doing that sometimes has nothing to do with the devil and everything to do with you. The devil likes to have his own day off. And sometimes we, meaning this preacher too, sometimes we give him a day off in our life. Oh, I'm good, devil. Go attack somebody else. I have no intention to do anything about the word today. I'll just sit here and go ahead and deceive myself today. You don't have to come here and deceive me. I'm going to deceive myself. I'm going to go to church today. I'm going to dress up. I'm going to look the part, act the part. I'm going to shout. I'm going to dance. I'm going to sing. I'm going to clap. I'm going to listen to the preaching and do nothing about it. Again, I don't feel that the Spirit of God has me here for correction as much as exhortation, which means encouraging you to the point of even provoking you to good works, to provoking you to do something about it. And that is what my desire is today, because that is the desire of His Spirit today. The Word of God is very, very, very much a necessity in your life. But if you're reading the Word and hearing the Word and not applying the Word, the Bible says you're deceiving yourself. You have no idea how easy you make it on Satan, because you just don't do what the Word of God said to do. For whatever reason you have, you've decided. I've heard them. Brother Marsh, that was a good sermon today. And I'm training myself to respond like this. Good, go do something about it. Do something with it. Gnaw on it a little bit. Chew it like a bone. Do something. Don't just amen me and walk out. I'd rather you not amen and take notes and highlight your Bible and say, I got to do that today. That's why you see me up here with my Bible, with a highlighter. Not that I'm the perfected method of doing things. It's just what works for me. And I take the notes, and I pulled out this little notepad. I was showing them earlier this morning. I said, one side is when the Lord says something that speaks to me, because I am going to be 50 this year. I don't remember things like I used to. I'll walk out of here saying, now, what was that the Lord said? How can I do something I can't remember? So I write it down. I make a note. I say, okay, Daryl, go home. When I get home, I open that thing up and say, okay, it's time to start doing. Because I'm just as Christian enough as these people were when James wrote to them. You hear me? I'm just as Christian enough to deceive myself. He's speaking to the church. He is not preaching on a street corner. He is writing a letter to the church saying, don't deceive yourself. Quit deceiving yourself by not doing it and just hearing it. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. There is not a period there. Comma. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You know what every word is? It is Old Testament. And it is New Testament. It is the Logos and it is the Rhema. We must partake of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God to live. You can't live by bread alone. You must have the Word of God. Most of you know the New Testament flavor of that, where Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, I love, he gave us an example, a model, an idea of how, this is how you start doing the Word. You actually start by saying the Word. And he had gone on that 40-day fast, and here is Satan trying to tempt him. And what was his response? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yet a confirmation in the New Testament, that still applies today. We have got to live by the Word, not just hear by the Word. If you just hear by the Word, you'll be deceived. God forbid we deceive our own selves. At least, to the very least, make Satan sweat. Make him work a little harder. Don't make it so easy on him by not receiving the Word. Why is the Word significant? Well, let me give you another scripture that lets you know, kind of gives us a foundation of the significance of the Word of God. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Settled. You can't move it. You can't change it. You can't modify His Word. You might modify the Word to your liking, but His Word didn't change because your little hands got all over it, because it's in a place you can't reach right now. His Word is settled in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want something that is established already and settled and as it is in heaven. What you see is what you get. We got preachers that come in and they meddle with that thing. Doesn't change in heaven because they can't reach up there and mess with it there. But they mess with it down here. And they take a gospel and they say, you know, I don't know if they'll receive that. So let me do some surgery. I'm going to remove a few things that might offend somebody. And in fact, I might just add a few things to make it taste a little better. And if I get it just right, they'll come back and keep eating more. I was telling them last week, I was preaching a different sermon about the Word of God to people in Cape Canaveral. And I said, you know, Piccadilly. Y'all, anyone remember the Piccadilly? Dad, you remember taking us? I remember my dad would say, I think we're going to the Piccadilly today. We'd all scream, ah, Piccadilly. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Because that first part, pick. I don't know what a dilly is. I don't think I ever picked a dilly. But I sure picked the jello and the pudding and the cake and all sorts of stuff. Of course, Mama was reaching in and picking it too, right back off my tray. Sliding in the green beans with onions. Now, why does someone go have to mess green beans like that? But you know what? This word is not a buffet. You don't slide your tray out and walk down, I don't think I want any of that. Kale. I love kale, but I know a lot of you do not. You're like, no, I don't want that. Oh, bacon. Yeah, oh, cheesecake. Hallelujah. The Word of God is good. Is it? How about that green beans and onion Mama slapped back onto the tray? You're going to eat healthy today. Yeah, sometimes, Brother Chris, when I'm in the Word of God, it is like cheesecake to me. And sometimes it tastes like kaopectate or cod liver oil. I don't like it, but it's doing me some good. We've got to take the whole word. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And thank God that he had men, authors, that would write down these proceedings, these words, so that here thousands of years later, we could have this word. The messenger will die. Times change. Cultures change. Circumstances change. We know this, but the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. It does not change. So don't try to change it. Don't try to modify it. Don't try to ignore the parts that don't taste so good. Take it all in, for the Word of God is all good for you. And a necessity in order for you to walk this life Jesus Christ has for you. See, there's a deception, James said, in not doing. You deceive your own selves. You're deceiving your own selves. You're sitting there smiling, nodding your head, hearing the word, and doing nothing about it. You're not getting any kind of breakthrough in your life. No deliverance in your life. You still have the same struggles. You parents, you ever remember those times with your kids? And they come in and they asked your advice, and when you gave it to them, they didn't like you anymore and they left because it wasn't what they wanted to hear, but it's what they needed. Oh, shoot. Dad's here. He's about to start amening. Mm-hmm. He had them moments with Daryl where my dad was trying to make me smart. I didn't like the way he was trying to make it, so I ignored it, and then I got whooped a few times. Not by him. That also happened, but I got whooped by this world. To where I'd rather have his whooping than its whooping. And the whooping of the world somehow opened up my ears to hear my dad speak wisdom. And see, we do the same thing at church. We want to say, no, that preacher, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. I think he's overboard. I think this, I think that. Who cares what you think? Tell me your thinking is in the Word and I might listen to you. But if my thinking comes out of the Word of God, then stop your thinking and start his thinking. Let the mind of Christ be in you. You can think yourself to hell, because that's what happens. Well, I just don't think you have to. I don't care what you think. What do you know by the Word of God? Well, I don't think healings are for today. Well, let me stand before you and tell you. Healing is for today because I've received it. Deliverance is for today because I've watched it. The Holy Spirit is for today because you all got it. Power demonstration is for today because it's happening. Think all you want, but I'm going to do the word. Because the thinkers deceive themselves. I just don't like when he said. Good. Chew on them onions a little longer. Well, I don't think that's what it means. Then let the Spirit of God tell you. He'll confirm his word. If you're actually sincere, he will confirm his word. I can't tell you how many times I went home. I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. I was right. At least that was a true statement. I wasn't sure about it. So I got into the one thing that is sure, and it wasn't YouTube preaching. Hear me. It wasn't YouTube preaching that made it sure. Yeah, there's good preachers out there. I know some. They post their stuff on YouTube. You know what makes it sure? The only thing I know is settled is that word of God. It's settled. It's sure. It's guaranteed. And I know the one who wrote the word. So if you just have a little talk with Jesus and begin to speak to Jesus and begin to ask Jesus, am I wrong or was the preacher wrong? Did I misunderstand the scripture here because I had five different flavors of it from YouTube and TV and CBN or whatever those things are? God, you tell me. Reveal to me. Is what Brother Darrell said today true? If it's not, then show me that it's not. And if it is, then help me get in it. That's the kind of stuff we need to do if you're serious. Or you can just hear today and go home and deceive yourself just a little longer until next week. And then you can deceive yourself again and again and again and again and again to the point Satan doesn't even need to come around ever. You've done deceived yourself so bad you can't even find your way back. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It'll tell me the truth. I could stand here all day long and say, I'm not standing in the mud. Yeah, you're standing in the mud. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Ding, turn the light on. How'd I get in the mud? So we can bicker and debate and fight about things, or we can let the light of truth shine and give us bearings by being a lamp unto my feet. Oh, gosh, I am in the mud. How do I get out of here? It's a light to your path. But if you just hear the word, don't do anything about it, you better have your mud boots on, because you can spend a lot of time wallowing in it. That's the word of God. The Bible tells us the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me talk about this for a minute. For the word of God is quick. What does that mean? Alive. Alive. The word of God is not some kind of dead ink on parchment. It is alive, the Bible says. And it is powerful. It is actively working in those that will allow it to actively work. Those that aren't just being hearers, but those that are doers. Then it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Or it exposes the contents of the heart. How do you know your condition if you have nothing that can expose the condition? I feel like I'm doing all right. But you know one way to find out? Go into the Word. And the Word will begin to expose. If there's anything to expose about the way you're thinking and your intentions and the things that you do, the Word of God will expose those things. It goes right on in there and cuts. Now, I don't know about you. Anyone here ever had surgery? Have you had a few of you? Isn't that fun? Don't you just absolutely love being cut up? So I had surgery. You know what I like when they have surgery? If you're going to cut me, at least have something that is absolutely sharp. I'm glad that when I was at Moffitt, Dr. Desereau didn't come in with a butter knife. All right, we're just going to get you open here and take a few things out and stitch you back up. I'm like, what's that? Were you spreading cheese on bread? What's that? Oh, that's my scalpel. I have one of those. We use it for Christmas. It puts the port wine cheese on the cracker. This is my scalpel. I don't care what they've got plugged into me and I'm wearing a gown. It doesn't matter. I'm out. I am out. You are not cutting on me with something that's dull and jagged, because in the end, I'll be worse off than when I was when I started. But the Word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. Any two-edged sword. Sharper than any scalpel. So what's that tell me? It's a clean cut. And it doesn't leave the damaging effects. Oh, it stings a little bit. It hurts a little bit. But in the end, you are better off than when you started. And that's what happens. It's kind of looking in there and says, oh, you got a little cancer in your body. Let me cut a little bit to get to it. Let me carve that stuff out of you, and then I'll stitch you back up, and you'll be better off in the end. Well, the Word of God is what goes in and exposes those things and then starts to cut away the stuff that doesn't belong and begins to extract it out. But that's only if you do the Word. Hearing the Word is like watching the surgeon pass on by. I went to Moffitt today for surgery. Oh, yeah, what'd they do? Nothing. What do you mean nothing? Yeah, I didn't let anything happen. They had all the tools. I had everything there ready to go. But, nah, I decided I'm not going to have surgery. And you think that's crazy? Crazy analogy. Let us sink in. Why do we do that at church? Oh, I'm sorry. I'll save this message for later. Y'all are the perfect people. I can see the perfection from wall to wall. There's not one thing that needs to be done in your life. Every thought you've had for the last month has been pure. And every intention has been led of the Spirit. Would you come lay hands on me and pray for me? Or am I being real today? You line up your sermons to listen to. Do nothing about them. Just listen. And James is talking to the church. He's not talking to passerby who decided not to turn to Christ, but he's talking to the ones who have turned to Christ. And he says, why are you just listening and not doing? It's of no effect in you. In fact, you're going to be worse off than when you started because you're going to be convinced that nothing needs to happen ever because you're putting into practice. And if you practice this thing long enough, you'll get real good at it. And when you get good at it, you'll be completely deceived. And it will take an act of God to change that. I've seen some of those acts of God. They're not pretty, but thank God. People receive it, at least at that point. And so we look in the scripture here. We read about that. We know that in the beginning was the Word. I tell you what, if that thing has been around this long, it's got some quality. I would love to know that I could buy a Tundra and that it will last forever. But it does not. My house doesn't last forever. My paint, we're repairing things. My body doesn't last forever. I'm repairing stuff in that. It seems like everything we buy and pour ourselves into, we got to fix. Because moths devour. And these things corrupt. They're corruptible things. But the Word of God was there in the beginning. And the Word of God is going to be there long beyond the ending. Because heaven and earth shall pass away. It says in Matthew, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Why do we take something so lightly that was here long before we were and is going to be here long after we are? Something that will never pass away and we don't latch on to it. We just hear it and let it pass on by. It's time to receive the engrafted word, the implanted word. To take the word in your life, to allow it to begin its work in you, because there is work to be done in you. If you'll just be an honest Christian, you'll realize you're not perfect like I'm not perfect, but God is perfect. And this is the perfect law of liberty, as James told to us. Look into that perfect law of liberty and then do something. Begin to work on it, he says. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want a blessing. I want a blessing. All right, do the word. I guarantee you, 100%, I promise you, you will be blessed if you'll do the word of God. I just came for a blessing. Well, praise God. Then take the word today and do something with it. And you'll have your blessing. Because the word of God says you'll have your blessing. Psalm 119 and 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. From the beginning, it doesn't only exist, but it's been true since the beginning. It's been settled since the beginning. It's an everlasting word. It's an everlasting power that can minister to us. It's an everlasting power that can minister through us. What are we doing with the word of God? There is a deception in not doing. Don't let that deception be who you are. And if that deception has gotten a hold of you in the not doing, then today do something about it, because it's not too late. You're still breathing. Don't be deceived by just hearing, but do it. Do the word. See, the word is the only guide to salvation. Why would we not do the word if it's the only guide? Did you hear me? It's the only guide to salvation. I am not the guide to salvation. I am the guide to get you to the word. The word is the guide to salvation. The power of the gospel is unto salvation. I just get you to it. I'm just a compass sometimes. Sometimes I'm a tour guide. Sometimes I'll take you by the hand and take you to it. And sometimes I take it to you. But it's the word of God that is the only guide to salvation. We have this commission, and we're supposed to go preach the gospel in the world. I preached on that recently. Why do we do that? Because it is the only guide to salvation. It's so significant. They got to at least hear it. You can't do it if you don't hear it. But hear me. If you hear it and don't do it, woe unto you. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he also said, he that believeth not shall be, go ahead, say it. He'll be damned. Said it in church. Yeah, because Jesus said it. You hear the word and don't do it, you'll be damned. I don't want to be damned. I don't know about you. Whatever that means, it doesn't sound good just by the very word. But the Bible will tell you what that is. Yet, people hear the word and don't do the word, as if they're choosing. I think I'd rather be damned. I've heard people joking, and even when I was in my wild days, I knew better than say this. I don't care if I go to hell, I'll get to see all my buddies. Aren't you brilliant? Yeah, it'll be a roasting party. And you can't uninvite yourself. They speak so arrogantly, so carelessly about the word of God. The thing is, you know, he's probably right. His buddies are, I'm not the judge, but I don't know. We know them by their fruit. If their fruit was like his fruit, he's probably right. I want to go to hell and be with all my buddies. No, you do not. No, you do not. But people choose all the time. They have the options. It's a simple choice, but people won't choose it because we do have a deceiver that tries to cloud the vision and cloud the understanding of people so that they don't understand the scriptures. And in that lack of understanding, they don't know how to obey the scripture. And then we have preachers. Yes, we have preachers that actually just butter things up and serve it to them. Nice and warm, and it tastes good. And they'll go on to the next week, and they think they did the word because the preacher said they did the word. But they didn't do the word. And so yet they're deceived one more day. Why do I seem angry? I'm not angry. I'm just passionate. I'm passionate because it'd be nice if I didn't have to weep over souls anymore. Be real nice. If I could have just kicked back and watched the end of the Olympics last night instead of the Holy Spirit said, get on your face and start praying. And he starts throwing, some people are in this congregation today, some of them Cape Canaveral, some of them are actually in Pensacola. And I said, God, I want to pray your will. What is your will? Who do I pray for? And he began to funnel people into my brain. I'd rather just kick back and grilled myself a good steak or brought some food home from Dad's house yesterday or spent more time with my relatives who came all this way to be with us, and I had to go home. It'd be easier if I didn't have to do all this stuff, but I get passionate because there are people out there that are doing more harm than good. And they're preaching gospels that are what we were told by Paul to consider a curse. But nobody considers anything cursed and damned anymore because those are harsh words. And we're such a delicate snowflake society, nobody wants to share it anymore. But I tell you the truth, I'm not going to stand there before Jesus and have him say, why were you passing out snowflakes? Snowflakes melt in hell. So if you don't like my preaching, well, at least when you're looking at me at judgment, you'll say, I should have listened.
If anything, like the word. Don't like me, like the word. I could change tomorrow, but the word is settled in heaven. Like the word for what it is. Quit trying to twist it. Satan twisted it. Don't be like him. Leave it alone. Leave it as it is and receive it as it is, and then do something about it in your life. I'm passionate because I'm watching them. I'm watching them die. And I'm watching people go to hell. Watching. Are you watching them? Or are you not paying attention? Are you watching family and friends go to hell? Are you watching your boss go to hell? Do you want him to go to hell because he's mean to you? Are you watching people go to hell so casually? Does it really have no effect on you? Perhaps you've deceived yourselves. If it's so easy for you to ignore it, you have deceived yourselves. For the Word of God tells us we ought to love our brother as ourselves. I love myself enough to know that I don't want to go to hell. So I'm going to do everything for myself to stay out of it and to get to heaven and be with Jesus. So if I love my brother like myself, then I should be doing everything to keep him out of it and get him to Jesus too. Oh, wait, that's the Word of God. Yeah, we have to do something about it. Go ye into all the world. Are you doing something about that? These aren't hard things. Pray without ceasing. Are you doing something about that? Or do you have it scheduled into your life? All right, this is my hour of prayer. Well, have an hour of prayer by all means, but pray without ceasing is what the Word of God tells us. In fact, if you go into Thessalonians, you'll learn how to behave pretty easily. They're real simple things. Just read right on through it. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5. Just read, 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 keep reading, and then start doing. And it'll be amazing how you'll begin to bless others and not just yourself because you're a doer of the Word of God. I'm only on page 2, dear Jesus. The Word is the only guide to godly living. This is going to make it real, so hear me. Please tune out whatever thoughts distracting you right now. I'm serious because time is wrapping up soon. And I don't want any of you to not make it. If that hurts your feelings, then let it be hurt. But let it be hurt to do something about it. Because I know Christians and I know many. I was at a conference and I watched men and women at a conference 2 days ago. And some of them are just hearers of the word. Because they're my friends. Friends enough to where I tell them, you better do something. They just want a nice little casual lunch. And I'm like, nope, nope, nope. We don't have time for beating around the bush anymore. I'm doing something. I'm not perfect, but I'm doing something. Do something. Start doing the word. Quit fussing about all the problems and start doing the word. It's amazing when the problems will start going away when you start doing the word of God. We'll get to that in just a minute. But John chapter 8, verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Abide in his word. It's like abiding in your house. You're spending some time. You're taking some time. There's an effort to be there. And you, it's where you spend most of your life, right? When you abide in something. You're not just visiting. Abiding is not visiting. He doesn't say visit my word and you'll be my disciples. You know what? I've been guilty of visiting Brother JoJo. I have visited his word. In fact, for years, I spent a lot of time visiting the Word of God. Then I learned one day, Brother Chris, stop visiting and move on in. Because there is a difference. And then you begin to abide in the word. And Jesus says he begins to abide in you. You get in there, and then it gets in you. And all of a sudden, you become intertwined. I don't know about you, but when you start to intertwine with something like that, it makes it a whole lot harder to take it away from you. But if you're just visiting, I'll just put up a roadblock. Make it hard. Oh, okay, I'll go there tomorrow. Maybe they'll fix it. I can get there tomorrow. But if it's part of who I am and I'm part of what it is, I'm abiding in his word. And what does that say? Then I know I'm his disciple indeed. Oh, wait a minute. I thought I was a disciple just because I believed in Jesus. Show me scripture on that. Show me. Read your word. Quit being deceived by men speakers and women speakers who think they know something. I've got a lot to learn. I'm open to receive of God. But I know this. A lot of people preach stuff that's not found in Scripture, and a lot more receive it. And that's why I'm passionate. Because for years I lived that way. Deceived. But then the revelation of truth was given to me. And as it began, it started peeling back things. It started extracting things. It started doing that. Hebrews chapter 4 surgery. It began to cut and slice. And began to operate. It began to expose things. It began to discern my thoughts and the intents of my heart. And began to say, oh, you don't need that, Daryl. Oh, gosh, we got to get that out of here quick. Oh, no, we don't. You know what? There's room here. I just took some things out. You know what you don't have? And it starts putting things in. And all of a sudden, you're not what you once were. You ever heard of sanctification? It's what happens in sanctification. It's pulling stuff out and putting stuff in and making you more like Christ by the day. But how are you going to be like Christ if you're not in His Word? And His Word is not in you. He says, you know when you're my disciples, you're abiding in my Word. Pretty strong scripture statements here. Here, look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You probably can quote this. All scripture. All, everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You think you know righteousness? You need instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What is it that does that? Holy Ghost, right? He says, oh, no, he's talking about scripture. The Spirit of God will operate in and through it, yes. But you can't leave it out. You got to receive it. John 17 and 17 says, sanctify them through. Hear these words today. Sanctify them through your spirit. Sanctify them through church attendance. Sanctify them through works. They evangelized and did a block party. So you're sanctifying, right? I don't read that. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You better know what you're hearing from the preacher next Sunday and Sunday after that and YouTube. It better be the word and not like the word. Do you hear me? It better be the word and not like the word of God. The whole word and nothing but the word. Titus 1 and 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. The word of God is powerful. But here, let's get to the nitty gritty. We'll wrap it up here in a few minutes. I know I've taken a while. How are we deceived then? Let me make it simple. Somewhere along the line, we stop doing the word. Whether it's because we justify our works because we're so busy about our Father's business, that we're not at His feet, or maybe you just burn out and you're just glad to be in the house of God. I'll tell you what, keep on keeping on then. Because at least you hear something, maybe one day you'll do something about it. How are you going to hear without the preacher, the Bible says? So at least come to hear. But in all your hearing, somewhere decide to do. Because you're just deceiving yourself if you're just hearing. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Here is Paul speaking to the church at Galatia. Verse 7. You did run well. They were doing good. They started off good. They got to a point where he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He's talking to a Christian in past tense. You did. That tells me, but you're not doing. At some point, you did obey the word of God. At some point, many of you repented. At some point, you were filled with His Spirit. At some point, you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. At some point, you started studying the word of God. At some point, you started doing things. But somehow, what? did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Where did it stop? What got in the way? What was the roadblock? What was the obstacle? Where's the pothole? What happened? And it's not my question to you. It's your question to yourself that you should be asking. What does hinder me from doing the Word of God? What does hinder me from not obeying the truth? I just go in every Sunday and hear it. Romans chapter 3, here's Paul talking to, let me remind you, the Christians at Rome. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Romans 3, verses 1 through 4. He goes, much every way. He's saying, actually, there is some to it. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the word of God. But see, Paul's setting them up here. He's like, yeah, there was a profit in being a Jew in a sense that the word of God was given to them. So they had a head start. They had an advantage, Brother Joe. You have the word of God, but what happened to them? They didn't do anything about the word of God. For what if some did not believe the word of God? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Of course not. Maybe in their life, though, but not for others. God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. Look at me. I know some of you are tired. I'm tired. Look at me, though. I'm a liar until proven otherwise. Let God be true. Just because you like me and I smile most of the time at you and I'm friendly to you doesn't mean that you just take the word that comes out of my mouth for what it is. Because then you're just hearing the word. And perhaps if I actually got it wrong somewhere along the way, you can validate it by knowing this. Let God be true. His truth is the word. This word is truth. If what I say is not in this word, then count it like a lie. Don't do anything about it. But if you can validate it in the Word of God, then start doing it if you haven't started already. And if you've started doing it, then keep on doing it and do it a little more every week. Make it become who you are. Get from the visitation of the Word into the abiding in the Word. And that way you don't deceive yourself in not doing. How are you not doing if you're abiding in it? You come to my house, knock on the door, and I'm in there. And you come the next day and I'm there, and you come that night and I'm there, and you come the next day and I'm there, and you keep coming and I'm there all the time. And then I say, oh no, I don't abide here. You're going to have a hard time believing me. Yeah, you do. You're here all the time. You're in it. But if I go once in a while and visit and you just so happen to see me do that, I'm just visiting. You might be convinced I don't abide in it. Oh no, he doesn't live there. He just visits there. Sometimes that's how we treat the Word of God. Oh, my little reminder on my phone says, go pay a visit. And I visit. Hey, visit if you're not doing anything else. At least visit. You got to start somewhere. But why don't you sit and stay a while? In fact, why don't you move in and abide in the Word of God? Because that Word will begin to change you. Sanctify them by that truth. Now, yes, you need the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you into all truth. It'll give you direction. It'll give you correction and instruction. There's power. You're not going to be able to get this right without the Word of God. You need that understanding, the teaching that the Spirit of God brings to you. But you're not going to get it all just because I got the Holy Ghost. You're great. Then do something about it. Because if you're Spirit-filled, that Spirit has been telling you a long time to get your head into the Word of God and start abiding there. So have you been listening? Come on, let's lay it all out there. It is not time for you to play, and it's not time for me to play. We've got souls to win, primarily our own, and then the others with us. And we cannot be deceived by not doing, but we've got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And begin applying the principles of the word of God in our lives. John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The very thing that we're going to be held accountable to. And so many people ignore it. Or just flat out don't do it. And there is a day of judgment. There is a day of damnation. There is a place called hell. Read about it. It's in the Word, and the Word is truth. There are demons. There are sicknesses. There are people that need deliverance. There was a man from Gadara, but you know what? There's a bunch of Gadarenes out there in Cape Canaveral, and there's a few of them up and down Garden Street that just need somebody who's in the Word, and the Word is in them, and they begin to speak. I saw Satan flee after Jesus started quoting Scripture. That makes life a little easier. Just start quoting Scripture. You don't have to be have a Bible theological degree of some sort from a Bible college. Just start quoting what you do know and start doing what you do have. And as you do that, more and more will come, and God will start leading you and guiding you into all truth. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path, David said. Thy word is. But what, how is it we're deceived? I don't know why. Maybe one of you smart people can educate me why people think this. I'm aware of the time. I'm sorry. In fact, come on, Sister April, just play softly. Singers, you can go ahead and come up here because I don't need to blabber a whole lot longer. I need you to understand what I'm about to say, and then you need to be a doer. I give you free liberty. If you don't want to do the Word of God when I wrap this up, might as well not stay. But if you decide today that I'm going to be a doer today, get yourself. Some people are like, oh, dear Lord, they're walking out on brother. No, they're sinners. They don't want to do the Word. I thought he would. No, these are singers that are coming. People that are part of the end of the service. They help you get where you need to be. I find it interesting that Paul had to write this in several of his epistles. Because you do not understand. You do know, at least most of you know, the epistles were written to the churches full of the Christians that were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and filled with the same Spirit that you and I have abiding in us today. And yet, for some reason, he even had to write this in 2 Timothy 3 and 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Was his simple four-word instruction on how to handle from such, turn away. Now, I'm not one. I don't like to beat up on churches and preachers and all that stuff. Probably contrary to what I was doing today. But really, I don't have time to beat things up. Even if they are wrong. Even if I am passionate, there's no excuse. He didn't say go out there and destroy the world. He said go preach the gospel to the world. The gospel will destroy false doctrine to those who are willing to hear. But I look and I see churches popping up everywhere. And people, I've met people coming out of these churches and like, yeah, they just baptized a couple. That couple's fornicating. And they went home and fornicated that afternoon. And they're baptizing them. And when I talk about repentance, they look at me like, what in the world does that mean? And I'm like, how are you not in the Word of God? How is a preacher in a pulpit not emphasizing the necessity of the death, the dying of yourself and turning towards Christ? How? What do we do? From such, turn away. But so many are turning to them because they're making it easy. And honestly, they're not making it any easier than it is. It is not hard. The hardest part is just deciding. Your hardest part is getting over you. Your biggest enemy is that thing you look at every morning in the mirror. If you could whip that, you'd do good. But once you do get to a place of repentance and you die out to yourself and you say, I'm tired of being me and I'm ready to be all that Jesus wants me to be. I'm tired of being bound in sin and living in sin. I just can't seem to get out of it. I'm tired of, I know something's out of order and I'm finally realizing it. I make that decision. I turn away from the sin of this world. I turn away. And it says it's not just a decision, but you'll feel some kind of contriteness to your heart. You'll feel a godly sorrow. It says godly sorrow leads to repentance. And you begin weeping and crying. You know, why am I crying? I remember when I came and Sister Sandy, right down there, I was like, every time she come up, touch me. What's she doing? And then I heard her words, her sweet words. And she was just pleading to Jesus for me. I was like, oh, okay, I'll take that. Then here come, you were the first one, Sister Sandy. I'll never forget that. My little bobbly head, nightclub outfit, idiot looking self. Well, I go try this Jesus thing out. You know, I go down to an altar and she just walks right up, begins praying. You know what? That was powerful. Because I started saying, you know, this is feeling good. I think I'll let a few more do this. And they kept doing it, Brother Tony. They kept doing it. Finally, one day somebody put a hand on me and I was filled with his spirit, began speaking in tongues. So, thank you for praying with me. But thank God a preacher told me I've got to repent. That this isn't some kind of deed that we do just to show that we have faith in Christ. It's not something we do. Show me Bible in that. Show me Bible where we get baptized to become a member of the church. Your church, my church. No. You become part of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Which is bigger than this building. But you don't sign up for membership. You die out to self and turn to Christ at repentance. And when you repent, things like this. You go home and go, honey, we either need to get married or I need to find a new place to live. I'm sorry, but that's truth. Oh, you don't understand, I got bills. You know what? I have too. I got big bills. And somehow, some way, God helps me pay them every month. Never missing a skip. Never missing a beat. Every time. And if you make a decision in Christ, you'll get to learn things about God you don't know already. He'll just come right on in and help you out. Because you're making a decision for God. And God will not leave you lacking. So you make these decisions. You say, you know what? I'm turning to Christ. I'm turning away from sin. I'm turning to Christ. You know that? You don't get a 12-pack on the way home when you do that. Now that 12-pack's going to be on the street corner. For some reason, it'll walk itself out to you. I don't know why. Every time people do things for God, it seems like those things draw themselves closer. Good old Tom Marsh. Love you, Tommy. I got the Holy Ghost. Not but two, but next day, I think it was Monday Night Football or something like that, Tommy comes over with his beer. Guess who won? I didn't touch a beer. We said, leave that stuff outside. He was like, okay. Tommy is now in the sound booth full of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. What? I could have said, now go ahead, bring your beer in. But you know what? I'm like, no. I died to that junk, and that was my favorite brand. You ain't coming in my house. Friends find another way over. And we're like, leave it outside. Leave it outside. It wasn't long before friends weren't coming over. They didn't want our life. But I didn't invite them to my life. I didn't say, you got to live the way I live. I just said, I made up my mind. Somebody said this thing, repentance. And I don't know all about it. I didn't then. But I know this. It sounded good to be done with the old life. It sounded good to quit living fantasy day by day. Trying to fill that emptiness that just somehow came back. Why was someone, I don't know. You get the flu, you get sick, you're nauseous, you're vomiting and all that. And then when you're done, you finally get better. Don't you just go find more people that have the flu and hang out with them? You liked it so much, you decided, I want the flu again. I really love being curled over the toilet and feeling miserable for all my life. Yeah, I'm going to go get the flu again. Yeah, we laugh about that. But I did that. Curled over the toilet, sick as a dog. Only 2 hours later, be at it again. Talk about being bound. Talk about being bound. Talk about addiction. Talk about don't know where to turn. But when a preacher doesn't tell you where to turn away from that and turn to God, but just tells you, why don't you go get baptized? Woe unto that preacher. God forbid that that ever happens. You have permission. If I ever preach like that, clobber me over the head with the biggest stick you can find and take me out. And I'm partially joking, but part of me is serious. Pray to God I don't ever get there. You know how you guarantee you never get to a place where you water down the truth? You abide in the Word. That's my little secret. I don't just visit it, I abide in it. I was in it this morning. I was in it last night. I was in it yesterday morning. I was in it on the drive home from Ocala. I was quoting it. I probably looked like an idiot to people going down Highway 40, and I'm just like, my word is truth. I'm just preaching to myself. So I know who I am, and I need the word. And that's, you know what that is? That's abiding in the word. When you get to the dinner table, and they're like, oh, here goes that long, drawn-out prayer. That's right. You better believe it. It's the word. Let's pray the word. So we need to tell people the truth. You need repentance. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Not just baptized. Show me scripture for that. And I'll show you scripture that says that every occasion in the word of God, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. It was taught. Just like John the Baptist preached repentance and Jesus preached repentance, then Peter preached repentance. John the Baptist preached baptism, but he said, but there's one coming after me. You need to